good afternoon. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasted from the Kwikwitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations here on Burnaby, the SFU campus. I'm your host, Katie, and this is my open mic. And oh my gosh, you guys, geez Louise, this rain has been murdering me. I was wearing a raincoat today and my arms are still wet. I'm shivering. If I'm shaking, that's why. But at least we got the rain back. It was so sunny last week, which is amazing, but we got to have the balance. The show is not about the weather. It is about our today. We have a very special guest named Bianca Hurley. She does political content on Instagram under the name Left Ain't Dead. And she invites a lot of controversy, a lot of hate in her posts. And we're going to just talk about what the state is of politics on the internet right now. And, you know, how do you make these posts that will create a conversation and not just shut people down with anger? And then we're going to also talk about, you know, how she got into political commentary and what inspires her. But before we get into all of that awesome stuff, and also, we're not going to be talking about her personal opinions so much, because you can find all that on her Instagram, so definitely go check that out on Left Ain't Dead. But before we get into that, we're going to listen to some awesome tunes. First, we have Record Store Day by American Lips. But don't worry, they're not American. They are actually Quebecois. And this is a really cool album by American Lips. I forget what it's called. I think it's just called On Strike. I remember I was Googling it and I was like, oh, American Lips are on strike. That's not good. But no, it's just the album is On Strike. And Record Store Day, this is the first song on the album and it's just super hype and it's letting us know, guys, it's all Record Store Day. So let's take a listen.
Can you repeat the question? Can I change my answer? Let's increase the tension. Let's blame our moms, let's blame our dads. We'll keep our fingers on the facts. Get that t-shirt out of your jeans.
That's boring.
Have you tried to play behind the beat?
So boring.
Put that t-shirt back in your jeans.
Get the soul records out of the street. Get the lady out of the gallery. smoke.
Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Radio Down by Caged Animals. And today we have an amazing, epic guest I already introduced from the famous Instagram account Left Ain't Ditched. It is Bianca Hurley. Hello, Bianca. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be here, Katie.
What do you think about hearing yourself in the headphones? Is it nice or scary?
It actually doesn't sound that bad. Yeah. Like, I can mostly hear myself. I can't really hear it in here, so.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so we're going to talk about just the process of politics on the internet.
Yeah.
And your account. And I thought it'd be nice to start with you explaining, like, just for people who don't know, like, what's the current state of, like, how people talk about politics on the internet and, like, the algorithm and how that influences it all.
Okay, so if you like to discuss this, we have to divide this into two different sections. One, we have the people who don't engage with it at all, which is what I call centrism. So we don't choose to engage with it at all. We kind of just go with the flow. But then what I've sort of come into realize is that there is a completely different side of that, which is growing as we speak, which is the polarized sides. So we've got like the far left, which is me, and we've got the far right, which is fascism. And both sides are growing in the ways that we realize that centrism is no longer enough in our day and age. And the way that our governments are running centrism is no longer what we can turn to anymore. So that's why the polarization side, the polarizing sides are rapidly growing, because we both realize, the left and the right, we both realize that there are things wrong with our governments, but we just choose to go about it in different ways, which is why those systems rapidly grow.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And do you find that, like, when, like, if you're just using the internet, you're, like, the algorithm naturally pushes you towards certain sides anyways?
Yes, dude. Literally, one of the first videos that I posted, it ended up on, because it was, like, my first post. The algorithm didn't know where to assign me yet, right? So it would put me to the middle, the centrist, and then I get a bunch of hate from that. And then it would put me to the fascists, which would get me a bunch of hate from that. But then eventually it kind of settles down and I found my people through the algorithm.
Yeah.
But because the far left is not as popular yet as the far right, as much as I hate to say, because, basically I found the far right group last because the algorithm was like, oh, how come this person's getting so much like comments from these people and these people? I guess we have to send them to this last group of algorithm.
Right. But it's kind of crazy to think about that the left is less popular, because I think especially like going to SFU, it's like you kind of, it feels like, oh, the left is all there is.
Literally. Because we get sucked into our own echo chambers all the time. So it's kind of hard to like separate yourself from that. But once you step outside of your echo chamber, you realize that there are, like, billions of people that hate you or are just simply not like you.
Yeah. Wait, so I wanted to talk about that video as well, like the first one that really blew up, where everyone was just like sending a lot of hate in the comments. Like, how many comments did that get? Do you remember?
It's like at over 1,000.
Yeah.
Right, it's crazy.
Which is like crazy because it's very hard to like blow up like that.
Yeah. The reason why I'm assuming why it blew up is because I put like, it was like I was posing as like a bunch of different like, what's it called? Revolutionaries. And then I put Mao Zedong as like the second one, and everyone was like, oh cool, Karl Marx good, Malcolm X good, Che Guevara good. But then when they saw Mao Zedong, they were like, what is wrong with you? Because all they talk about, specifically like the centrists, all they really know about Mao is that he killed like anywhere from 10 to 40 million people, which, yeah, but we also we also have to look at what he did for China, which is something that we'll get into later. But that's part of why it blew up, is because I purposefully put someone who was extremely controversial, who I knew would attract a crowd that would stick with me, but I also knew it would attract a crowd that would hate me, but both sides would still boost my algorithm and I'd reach more people who are just like me.
Exactly. And you feel like it's important to have like controversy to have more conversation, or also though, does controversy take away conversation? Because then everyone's just mad.
Dude, yes, your second question is totally correct. But I was actually able to have like some actually productive conversations with a few people. Because what I would do is when people just would comment something like actually productive, like they seemed like they were just genuinely misinformed, I would say, hey, I DM'd you, check your DMs. And then we'd have a long conversation about how, hey, you're totally right to feel this way, but this is what actually happened. And I was able to actually make a couple like friends that way, and like followers who have stuck with me that way, because I was successfully able to, you know, kind of break down that propaganda and actually talk to these people in a way that wasn't meaningless slop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that hard to kind of choose what hate to respond to and what to just ignore?
Yes, because when I first started out, I made it a goal to respond to every single comment. I can't do that now. I've kind of blown up to the point where I can't respond to everything at once.
Okay, icon.
Yeah, so I pick and choose who I respond to, but if it's just, like, the people who just, like, throw out the, like, random GIFs, like, anti-Semitic GIFs, or just, like, anti-Semitic rhetoric, or just stuff that I know is, like, copy and pasted, and it's, like, stuff that you can't really respond to because it's just so slop, I just, like, I don't bother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could, like, philosophize a bit on, like, why do you think anger is such a common response when, like, people see stuff like this?
I've been thinking about this. I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked me this question. Oh, my God. Okay. So I have a feeling that anger is our most common emotion towards stuff that we're unfamiliar with, because it's to protect us. It's to protect the person from feeling emotions that are like more vulnerable than anger, because, you know, anger can be seen as vulnerable, but it's far less vulnerable than maybe sadness or pensiveness. And like the first thought of ours is to just get angry at things that we don't understand because it's protecting us.
Yeah, it requires less thought.
Yeah.
And it also, like, it makes it seem like you know what you're talking about when you're angry. Because you're, like, like, totally solid in this opinion.
Yeah.
But, like, I like what you said about, like, pensiveness as, like, an emotion almost that you don't want people to see.
Yeah, because I feel like not everyone has it in them to really critically assess everything that they're taking in.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we shouldn't, like, that's impossible. That's why we talk.
Yeah.
And, like, figure stuff out together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was wondering as well, like, so now that you've been doing this stuff online, I've been wondering if that, like, bleeds into your personal life now that you're feeling more confident talking about this, like, just in normal life.
This account was actually one of the reasons why I was, like, so okay with coming on this show. And, like, maybe I was able to go to a couple political events, such as, like, the AFME, the anti-fascist media initiative at Emily Carr. I was able to go to an event there for a Sudan fundraiser, and we were able to, like, have a discussion. And I felt like and even, like, day-to-day with people that I see online, if they're posting something that's, like, kind of misinformed, I'll be like, hey, here's why this is misinformed, X, Y, Z. And I'll try and do my best to really converse with them. So I feel like this account has really built my confidence in being able to just speak what's on my mind. And actually kind of try and persuade people, because I know that not everyone will agree with me, but I know that the best I can do is to just try because I have this knowledge, I'd like to think so, but I have this like big extensive critical thinking bank in my head, and I want to do my best. The goal of this account and the goal that this account has brought me to believe is that I have this ability to talk to people about the world and from a different viewpoint than how it was like normally conceived.
Yeah, that's like an exciting viewpoint to start from.
So it really grew that critical thinking bank for me, which I'm really happy about.
Yeah. And then how do you think that, like, this is kind of slightly different from the original question, but like, how do you think that like being on the internet like impacts our critical thinking?
Oh, okay. Have you heard about the rise in anti-intelligence on the internet?
I've heard a bit, but I think explain it.
It's basically where we have become so entrenched with our kind of media slop to the point where it's just like, even on like TikTok and Instagram Reels, the algorithm is built for you to just scroll. It's not really built for you to think and comment. That's why they're like 15 minutes, 15 seconds long. But it kind of just puts this stuff into your brain, and you internalize that because that's just what the human brain does, and then you keep scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to challenge ideas that are only 15 seconds long, or like a GIF, or a couple words of just like anti-Semitic slop, or just fascist slop. Like, it's really hard to like disagree with that because there isn't much to disagree with. Like, you know it's wrong, but how do you counter that?
Yeah.
So it's made it much easier for people to just go along with the slop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you, like, when you're making like kind of short form content, like how do you approach that where making it not slop, like making it something that people like watch and be like impacted by?
The goal of like the average influencer starter pack, they'll always say put the main points in like the first 5-10 seconds of the video, or else people are just going to scroll past. So that's what I typically do. I even lean into the whole like controversial topics as well, just to like get people locked in on the video.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I kind of just start breaking down everything. I put like text boxes, I put a fair amount of words, far more than like the slop kind of content will, I assume. And I kind of just wait for people to kind of ask me questions. And then I make sure that I don't go out of my way to DM them, because otherwise people are not going to see their questions being answered. So what I kind of do is when people open the comment section, they'll see people ask maybe frequently asked questions, and then I'll respond to those comments, and then they'll see my answer, and then I'll pin those comments so that it gets boosted up to the top, so that it's kind of like a FAQ kind of situation.
That's so incredible. Yeah. And then I was also this has just popped in my head, but I love how your videos, you're always like have your bangs curler in and like a robe and you're like it's like very like, it's so chill, like it's not professional at all. And I was curious if you like, if you're like, this is me.
Dude, because like sometimes I'll have like this idea in my head for a video, and then it'll be like 11 p.m. at night, I'm ready to like go to bed, and then I'm just like, wait. It doesn't actually matter how I look, because what I look like has nothing to do with what I'm actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like put the camera on and just record. Like, I don't really care what I look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just there to talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you want to see Bianca in like a curler and a robe spitting facts, go check out Left Ain't Ditched, and do that while we're going to listen to some tunes. And then we're going to keep talking after the tunes, though, so stick around, because we're going to talk about Bianca's political awakening, and then we're also going to end off this whole chat with hopefully some ideas of hope and light, which I feel like we've already had just with Bianca's existence at all. So we're gonna start by listening to the song Blackout by Buddy. I hope you enjoy. Oh, where is it? Oh, it has a very slow intro, don't worry, it's coming, and then there it is.
Cups of coffee. Our heads are aching, and I know we all need breaking. I know. We're stuck in the frame of centuries toward work. And I feel the pressure, watching the world move on the clock. Oh, how I wish that the snow could lull us all to sleep to a hibernation. Then rejuvenate.
Together my whole world grew up and flew the coop. Now back to two, just me and you. We may be older, but we're wiser, 'cause we're not the kids we were. More years together than apart, taking for granted how it started, back with just two. To do just me and you. We may be older, more wiser, 'cause we're not the kids we were. More years together than apart, taking for granted how for